Bom dia, boa tarde. Welcome to another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. I'm your guest host, John Neves, back here again to talk about my favorite subject, your favorite subject, and that is, of course, Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, whatever word you use in your part of the world. Episode 186. Here we are in the month of September, and what a busy time it is, but that only means it's more exciting. So much to talk about that I will be talking about in this episode. First off, congratulations to Braga qualifying for the Champions League. But they did get a tough Champions League draw. But I'll tell you why I think they have a good shot at finishing a third. Great matches this weekend in the Liga Betclic with Braga hosting Sporting. And Vitória Guimarães going to Estádio da Luz to play Benfica. These matches have not gotten a lot of attention because of the transfer window. But you know right here, I'm going to talk about it, and I will coming up here in a few minutes. Second division report, some thoughts on the transfer window. We got some Portuguese international players making some big moves. I will give you my top 10 domestic signings. And of course, we still have about one day left when I'm pressing record on this, and I'll give a final one next week. But I did have some changes, moved some players around. And even a player dropped off my list, and I'll tell you all about that. And of course, we got Roberto Martinez, the day I dropped this, doing his selections for the next two matches that are coming up here for Portugal. They're playing on Friday and Monday of next week. Going to be quick then, getting right back to club duty the following week. So a lot to talk about here on episode 186, your weekly Portuguese expert. And let me start off first talking about Braga. And again, congratulations to Braga. Qualification gets them around 30 million euros, give or take. Huge money for a club like Braga. And let's not forget, they have made some terrific moves this summer. They signed, since my last episode, João Moutinho. And this is a club that, again, their president, El Salvador, has made it clear that he wants to win a Liga title, that he just doesn't want to be known as a team that has a chance. He wants to take it seriously. He wants to win, and since he's taken over as president, this is a club that has competed very well, and he has made some great moves, and obviously Bruma, I think, has to be one of the best signings in Portugal this year, and that's why he is now my number one best player signed in Portugal this season. I realize he was here last year on loan, but he was purchased. And I'll talk again about my top 10 coming up here in a few minutes. But Braga, big money. And as a result, we will have for the third straight year, three Portuguese teams playing in the Champions League, along with Porto and Benfica. Benfica earning close to 40 million with their qualification to the Champions League. Obviously through the groups by winning the Liga. And of course, Porto already earned close to 42 million. And in case you're wondering, why the discrepancies, it has a lot to do with their, my understanding has a lot to do with the UEFA coefficient, the UEFA ranking and things of that nature, and based on how they are reported. And, you know, as you know, on this episode, I've been talking about the Big Four. And I say the Big Four because I think Braga can compete for all the titles in Portugal, just like the rest of the clubs. Maybe it's a little bit harder for the Liga, but I think that's why I call them the Big Four. And their qualifications for the Champions League and the fact that they have 30 million. And I was talking to someone the other day and they didn't like the fact that I say it. And here's my other reasoning for this as well. This season, the Liga winner will automatically go to the Champions League group stage next year. The second place team is going to have to go through the preliminary and playoff round. So we're losing a team, if you didn't know by now, but this is kind of old news. And one of the things about our Liga is that, especially the big three, is that their ability to play consistently in the Champions League, and most of two of these three clubs do tend to do that a lot, plays a big reason why they get the type of talent they do from South America or other parts of Europe. And if a club like Braga can't start competing to finish in the top two and put themselves in the place to be in the Champions League, and let's say that one of the other big four clubs all of a sudden goes 2 or 3 years without making it to the Champions League because they don't finish top two, what's going to happen to that club is they're not going to probably get the same type of players, because one of the big reasons these players come is to play in the Champions League. It's the truth. They want to be seen on that stage to give them a better opportunity to be propelled to go to a bigger club. It's the formula for a lot of players is you play for a Portuguese big three, and the chances are you're going to go to a big club. And Braga's trying to break into that and to make themselves as attractive as possible to bring in these players. And then, of course, make the type of money that you're seeing that the other big three. And if Braga, with this money, and by the way, they've been, in my opinion, the best Portuguese club this summer, making the smartest moves. Benfica's done well. Porto has done pretty well here these last 2 weeks. But they're just kind of refilling the refrigerator like they always do. Braga, I think, has made moves that has really put them in a better position to compete. They knew their weaknesses, and they went out and got experience. I love the João Moutinho. I love the fact that they got Font. These are the type of things that, in my opinion, make a big difference. And if a club like Braga could consistently make the Champions League, and then one of these other big three don't make the Champions League as consistently, Braga is going to be in a better position to get those players. Now, you're probably sitting there, no way. You play for a club like Porto, Benfica, Sporting, that play in a bigger stadium with a bigger fan base. I don't think players like that care about that. They want to be on the biggest stage possible to propel themselves to even a bigger opportunity. And they're not going to go play for a club that's not playing in the Champions League. So Braga is putting themselves in a position to compete for the Liga. If they compete for the Liga title, that is going to shake up a lot of things in Portugal. But my point that I'm trying to make is them qualifying for the Champions League and getting this money and all the players they already have and getting better. And I think it puts them in a better position to compete. I think it makes the pressure to finish top two even higher. And if they do, that means two of the other big three are going to have to not be in the Champions League because Braga has basically, broke into the party and spoiled someone's thing. And I think that's why I think Braga, what they did this week and what they continue to do, shows that they want to be someone that's taken very, very seriously. And they're making big money. And we know already that Porto's making big money. We know Benfica makes a lot of big money. But let's remember, they have a lot of debt. They got a lot of bills to pay. And they've got to sell to keep their budgets and to keep their players paid. A club like Braga is coming from a totally different direction where they have debt, but it's not as much as the big clubs. So if they're making big money and they don't have to pay as much, that's a big advantage for them to try to catch up to the big three. And again, beautiful stadium. I think it fits about, 30,000, 35,000. They don't get support like Vitória Guimarães, who again is the fourth best supported club in Portugal, no doubt about it. But I think Braga can make waves. And I think this was a very big week for Braga. This weekend, they're going to be hosting Sporting. Last year, Sporting twice, I think, beat them 5-0, beat them up, just embarrassed them. This Braga this weekend, I think this is going to be a great match. And again, we have a great weekend with Braga Sporting, Benfica, Vitória Guimarães. And it's a shame that it's been overshadowed by the transfer window. And I understand that a lot of people love the transfer window, but the Liga this weekend is very exciting. And I think this Braga Sporting match this weekend is going to be very, very exciting as well to watch. We have four Portuguese teams, by the way, in the UEFA Youth League, thanks to Famalicão winning the, I think it was the under-19 youth title. So we're going to basically have Braga, Benfica, Porto, and Famalicão Fama. That's right. They will all be, so we're going to have four teams competing in the UEFA Youth League. I think it's a terrific accomplishment for Portuguese clubs. And again, younger players playing in a higher level of competition, more people are going to see them, and it's just going to continue to be good for the clubs as well as these kids who play in these competitions. And congratulations for Fama. This is a very, very big accomplishment for them. And let me also say, by the way, a lot of criticism to the newspapers, especially the Record, where Bola really went out of their way with the newspaper on Thursday morning to highlight Braga qualifying for the Champions League. Record decided to go with the news of Gonçalo Guedes, rehabbing with Benfica. A lot of fans in Braga not happy with the fact that they didn't get the proper treatment in the Portuguese press, and a lot of people really upset with the Record. I think Record's a great newspaper, but I think on this one they should have gone with Braga. But remember, newspapers are a business. They want to do what they can to sell the most newspapers, and the reality of the matter is Benfica sells more newspapers than Braga, and that's just a pretty big fact. So, again, congratulations to Braga. Great thing with the European competition. As far as the draw, Braga by far has the toughest draw, but I think they have a shot at third place. Playing Napoli and Real Madrid is obviously within itself going to be very difficult. But if they can maybe draw with Napoli at home. Maybe they can try to battle for third place over Hertha Berlin. A lot of people talking about Hertha Berlin. I mean, I think Braga can match up with them. I realize they're in the higher league, Bundesliga. I don't see how you discount them with Hertha Berlin. I understand Hertha Berlin. I get it. They're in the Bundesliga. I get it. You don't have to say anymore. But I think this Braga team and the experience they have and some of these players that know this is probably their last chance in the Champions League, do not discount the motivation they will have. And Bruma has just been playing fantastic. Benfica and Porto, look, opportunity. Opportunity with their groups. You cannot say that they're not going to qualify. They have a terrific opportunity to qualify. And I think if you're Benfica or Porto, you have to be very happy. I'm really looking forward to Porto and Barcelona. And I don't think Barcelona is, obviously it's Barcelona, but I think Porto could do very well in that group. And Benfica, of course, has to play Inter Milan and the disappointment with, you know, Inter Milan last year, where Benfica should have advanced past Inter Milan. I'm sorry, in my opinion. But in my opinion, Benfica got a good draw too. Last year, remember, they had, look at the teams they had in the group with being lined up with PSG. A lot of people didn't think they were thinking second or third place. They wound up winning the group, I think, over PSG in goal difference or something like that. So opportunities for Portuguese clubs, I think you have to be pretty happy. And the day I drop this will be the Europa League draw. Sporting dropping to the second pod. Because the other teams are ranked higher than the coefficient. So Sporting is going to be in a little bit more different group. And it shows you how much Sporting has dropped, the fact that they've dropped a pot two of the Europa League. But listen, Sporting is a big club with a lot of young talent, certainly very young. They're not as good as I think they were 2-3 years ago. Whoever comes out of that draw, I think they have a good shot. But being in pot two puts them in a position to have to play another strong team in that group. Going around with some Liga notes, like I always do this week, some sad news about Ebola. I know Porto fans don't like Ebola. I know Sporting fans don't like Ebola because Ebola tends to be known as more of a Benfica newspaper. But saw a report this week, and I'm bringing this up because this is general Liga news, because obviously they cover the Liga, of course. I mean, they're the Ebola. But apparently Ebola might have a certain number of employees laid off. I think one report said maybe as many as potentially 60. They got bought out by a company. I think they're from Greece. And like companies tend to do when they buy properties, they will look to go in and basically trim some of the staff, save some money because they've spent so much money buying this. And look, if you're a young person trying to make your way in the world, you're young, you're ambitious, the world is at your feet. But when you're older and you have a family and you work hard, the thought of being in a job where you might get laid off is very stressful. It's very, very stressful. So I feel for those employees at the Ebola. Very tough times. Put away your loyalty. And one of the great institutions in Portugal, whether you agree with it or not, is the Ebola newspaper. And if they're losing that many employees, I like to think that possibly their quality is going to drop. And what does that mean? It means more people doing more work at that place. So anyway, my thoughts to Ebola. Transfer Market came out saying that Portugal was the seventh highest league in Europe that spent on the transfer window. Obviously, there's another full day to come where I think there will be a lot of news. But a lot of that is usually Portugal's not that high. Obviously, we're a seller's league, of course. But Braga played, I think, a factor in helping because Braga has spent more money than they usually do. My top 10 signings, again, I will update it next week based on what happens in the final 24 hours. I'm dropping this podcast with about 24 hours left in the transfer window. But obviously, number one, it continues to be... Well, number one, for me, it used to be Benfica's Coutinho. But I think you got to go with Bruma. And I realized Bruma was on loan last year, but, Braga spending the money they did, I think it was something like $6.5 million. Best money they ever spent. He gets them qualified for the Champions League and automatically is already making profit for them. But I think he's been your number one player so far signed. Coutinho, I think, is number two. He's going to be a monster for Benfica. Di Maria, I think, has shown. And again, I said that the reason why they signed him is that when they get to the Champions League, they want to play with experience that could score in the big moments or lead this team. Great move by Di Maria. Benfica signing him. He's my number three. So he basically was at 1.4. I move him up to number three. Navarro drops down to four. Navarro not having a tremendous so far, but I think this kid's going to do very, very well. Goya Koresh, the Swedish striker for Sporting, he's going to come in at number five. Number six is Boavista's Bosnik. Let's not forget this kid, even though he played for them last year, Boavista bought him for about 800,000. I think it was like 2.5 million was the fee, but they managed to get it down to something like 800,000, 900,000. And look at what he's done so far for Boavista. Font of Braga, the center back, I just think his experience is going to be very important for this team. He's number seven. Ivan Jaime, who Porto just got from Familia Kong, I think is a very big move. He's my number eight. João Moutinho, again, you're looking at this, young players to be sold later. No, I'm looking at the fit, how these players fit in the overall scheme of the team. And I think João Moutinho brings a lot of experience. We know the story, if you haven't heard by now, a lot of disappointment with Porto. He was supposed to be signed by Porto, but Conceição vetoed it. It just became a whole thing with Porto. João Moutinho, I think, is going to do very well for Braga, and his experience is going to do wonders. And then number 10, it used to be Enrico. Well, I had Enrico Raju, Benfica Loni to Fama, Familia Kong on this list, but he's dropped out. He's played, but he's seen very little minutes so far, so I'm dropping him out. I thought this would have been a great opportunity for him to go to Fama and to really step it up and play and earn minutes, but you know, when he was Benfica, he did okay. Then he went to England. I think, what was it, Watford? Not really okay. And now he's in Portugal with a great opportunity and he's not doing okay. So I took him out of my top 10. I'm going to go with Zé Luís. Again, a former Porto player, a club like Feirense wants to play to try to get into Europe or wants to finish middle of the pack. This is a player that could be an impact player. Four, based on what Feirense is all about. Again, I'm not saying he's going to be one of the better players in the league. I just think his impact is very, very good. And these are my top 10 players. I'll come back next week and I'll update it based on what happens in the final day of the transfer window. But that's pretty much my opinion right now. And that ends part one of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. Part two of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. Welcome back. I always start off this part of the episode, as always, saying thank you to all my followers, to all my listeners for giving me, whether it's 10 minutes or listening to this whole podcast, which sometimes the episodes tend to be anywhere from 40 to 45 minutes. And again, thank you. Obrigado. Okay, I'm saying this seriously, for letting me to come into your life, into your ears, your headphones, your earbuds. And I appreciate that you take time to listen. Been doing this for 25 years. Hard to believe. I did take a few years off because of some health issues. But I love doing this. My whole week is set up to do this podcast. And I just want to say thank you for all those that listen. If you're brand new and you want weekly opinions, and I really try to be objective, I tell it like it is, please support this podcast by giving it a follow on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Podcast Addict. It's on a bunch of platforms. I also put the audio on YouTube. And again, thank you so much. The numbers only continue, of course, to get better. And let me also say, you know, this is what, my second week back from my terrific vacation in Portugal. And God, I miss the food. I miss the pastries. Going into a Portuguese pastry shop and seeing all the options, I just miss it so much. I miss the frango. I miss the wine. Oh, I got to get to Newark real soon to try to get rid of some of this nostalgia that I'm having. But let's get going with part two. And let me start off first talking about players abroad. First off, great story this week. Beto was sold to Everton from Udinese in Italy. Beto's a terrific story. Back in 2018, he worked for Kentucky Fried Chicken. He was in the fourth tier, and now here he is playing in the Premier League. It is the true story of Portugal's pyramid, where you play in Portugal, you play for a club, you work your way up the system, and you could eventually make it to one of the big leagues in Europe. It's the beauty of the fact that the Portugal sells as many players as they do, and he's an example of it when Portimonense sold him to Serie A. And Portimonense, by the way, is getting something like 10 million from that deal. That is big money for Portimonense. Big, big money. So a lot of winners here. Beto, congratulations, and be curious to see if him, possibly Bruma, Paulinho, be curious to see if they're going to be called up by Roberto Martinez when the draw comes out later today. I'd be very curious to see what's going to happen with that. And again, I'll talk about that next week when I preview the Portugal matches next Friday and next Monday. But Beto to Everton, joining Shermiti at Everton. That should be a good move. And one of my great followers, Tofi, my friend, I think you should be very happy. Big news, and as I record, press record, and this hasn't happened yet. It looks like it's going to happen. Mateus Nunes to City. Another Portuguese international playing for one of the biggest clubs in the world. João Paulinho, also at the time I'm dropping record on this, is getting a lot of interest. This could happen the day I drop this episode, going to Bayern. So Portuguese clubs, again, Portuguese players, highly touted by some of the biggest clubs in Europe. And this is happening with Mateus Nunes and, of course, Paulinho. We saw Cancelo, something happened with him in Barcelona. I was surprised Barcelona could still spend what they do. We'll see if that effect changes. Ruben Dias was named to the EPL Team of the Year, the PFA Awards. I believe that's the Union Award in England. So Ruben Dias, again, he was sold for, what was it, 60, 70 million by Benfica. What a big bargain. What a bargain that's been for City. And then, of course, other news, Jota. Bremer, I talked about it last week. He did score for his club in Saudi Arabia, but there's talk that he might be on his way out. You know, again, I was saying, you know, Jota, if he stayed in Celtic and did what he did, he would probably be called up. And now look at it. He's playing in Saudi Arabia. He's not going to be called up. And look at Bruma. Bruma kind of maybe jumps into the eye of one of those wild card players that could jump into getting called, you know, be that second to last player called up. Bruma comes to Portugal, plays for a club because he wants to play. And look at him. Big move. So one player makes a good decision for money and to go to a good, you know, play in a very exciting league now, Saudi Arabia, but not working out for him, at least to the extent of being called up. You look at Bruma and look at the decisions he's made. It's working out. This is not an opinion, by the way, my friends. That is a true, cold, hard fact. Also, I saw Roberto Mancini was named the new manager of Saudi Arabia. I thought JJ was going to be getting this job for the next World Cup. I was surprised. I thought JJ was going to be named the next manager of Saudi Arabia. And then he wound up taking over, going back to Al Hilal for the second time. So that's a big news. So I'm wrong on that one. And again, anytime I'm very wrong on my podcast, I want to come out and say that. Big three report, Benfica, Vlaco Dimos, getting a lot of interest from Nottingham. We know he's falling out with Roger Schmidt. Talk of about an offer. They've said six, another said seven, another said nine. Who knows what to believe? Again, who is the one to believe? The player knows what's going on. The club knows what's going on, and the agent. But the newspapers are reporting that money. Vlaco Dimos even had a falling out with JJ. I think it's time for him to move on and give some new blood at Benfica. My only concern with Benfica is if they do go with some of the new people they brought in. Vlaco Dimos did pretty well, I thought, including one match that comes to mind last year in the Champions League, and you're going to miss out on that experience. And if you're trying to make a move to get to the Final Four, you may want a goalkeeper like Vlaco Dimos, even if he did have a bad match against Boavista in the Liga opener. But we also saw some news with Benfica and Gonçalo Guedes. Big news with him. And by the way, I'm going to do my Liga preview after I'm done here with the Big Four and my second division report because I wanted to talk about that other stuff. But Gonçalo Guedes is back with Benfica in terms of training. He looks like he'll be back in October to play, and he's back for another year on loan, so another great move by Benfica. João Sporting, Paulinho has been unbelievable. 4 goals, 3 of them game winners. Especially the last two. And the question is will he be called up by Roberto Martinez? I say no. I do think Roberto Martinez will call up Bruma. But Paulinho's been fantastic. He just needs to do it for a little bit longer. And, of course, we know about Fresneda, who was signed this week by Valladolid. By the way, sometimes I'm not going to get these names right. So for those that lose sleep over this, I'm sorry. But I'm sincerely trying. But we're talking about a sport that's very international, not like the NBA. Although, by the way, I do watch sometimes international broadcasts, like when I was in Portugal, people, you know, they have the NBA channel and they don't do much, a great job either pronouncing the players ever. So it's just the way it goes with international names. But Sporting finally getting the kid that they wanted from the club in the second tier in Spain. Porto, Marcano, what can you say about him? You know, he went to Roma, didn't work out, came back to Porto, and he's been terrific, the all-time leader as a defender for Porto in goals. He scores back-to-back winners. Major signing. Victor Bruno, by the way, the assistant that took over for suspended Conceição. Check this out, 16 matches, 15 wins, one draw. Wow. And my cousin told me, by the way, this is the son of the great second division manager who was the champion of promotions, Vitor Oliveira. I don't know if that's true. I got to check that, but that's what my cousin told me. Tereme, and as I record this, the report is by Porto Canal is that the deal is not going to happen, that Tereme was not able to come to a deal. There's also agents involved in this with the commissions, and it looks like it's going to fall through. A lot of people blaming the agents, including some people in Italy, saying that the request by the agents and the commissions were apparently absurd. It's amazing to me, and again, maybe it's because I live in a different culture, that a player won't be able to make a move to the Serie A because of the people negotiating for him. And the criticism in Italy was the intermediary here, which they felt was useless, made it more difficult. And I'm surprised at Tereme. I mean, he's still going to be playing in the Champions League, but I'm surprised. I'm surprised that he wouldn't want an opportunity to continue to raise the Iranian flag all over the world by going to play in Serie A. Very surprising that he's not moving. But you know what? If you're Conceição, you're a very happy man. You're a very happy man to know that one of your best strikers is back. And, you know, Tereme is good for 15, 20 goals in the Liga. So this could be big news unless he makes that move in January. So we'll see. Chico, Francisco Conceição, basically Ajax. He's not adapted well. He might be coming back on loan. That might be a, as I press record on this, a move that you'll hear about today with the transfer deadline. And, of course, the big signing, Ivan Jaime, big signing by Porto. To me, one of the 10 best in Portugal. I think this kid's going to do very well for them. He obviously didn't play with Fama because he was trying to push for a move. Well, he got the move. Braga, looks like they're going to keep Al Mizrahi, the French, one of the French clubs. I think it was Marseille were after him. Looks like he's going to stay. And the goalkeeper, Mateus, great. Great two legs against Panathinaikos. Looks like he'll be staying as well. He was getting significant interest from England. You know about my thoughts on Moutinho. Just a great move. Bruma, 4 goals, 1 assist, and 6 official matches. I don't know what else to say. Just the best signing in Portugal this summer. Let's preview to kind of wrap this up here before I get to some viewer questions. I usually do this early in the episode, and I apologize that I'm kind of pushing it off toward the end, but I wanted to get the other stuff in. But Jornada 4, Week 4, by far, in my opinion, the best one so far. And again, because the news is heavily dominated by the transfer window, I think some matches this weekend have kind of fell to the side and haven't gotten the attention. I'm sure they will if this happened in October or November. But we are a league where people are fascinated and... but it's that's just the way it goes. But there are some big matches this weekend. First off, everything that's going on Friday, the day I dropped this, Vizela versus Gil Vicente. You've got 4 matches on Saturday and 4 matches on Sunday. And then, of course, the international break begins. The big match on Saturday is Benfica at home to Vitória Guimarães. Big match. Big, big match. And then on Sunday, obviously, the 2 matches that stick out, FC Porto at home against Arouca. And then, of course, you also have Braga versus Sporting. Those are the really big matches going on. And Porto Arouca, by the way, that will be the RTP international match for this weekend. And again, Sunday, big time, Porto Arouca. But the real big match, of course, is Braga Sporting. Sporting beat up Braga last year, twice in Alvalad. We know about the 3-3 draw when they played the league opener last year, if I recall, in Braga hosting them. So... a lot of goals, at the very least, when these teams play. The question is who will be scoring most of the goals? But by far, this is the best match of this weekend, along with Benfica and Guimarães. And obviously, the biggest story this week is Vitória Guimarães, 9 points, despite their European disappointment. Them and Porto, along with Sporting, are leading the way at the top, undefeated with 9 points. Boavista right behind them with 7. Benfica, because of the loss to Boavista, is there with 6 points. And again, it's very early. Don't get too excited about the standings. I think once you get to November, December, that's when it kind of means more, in my opinion, for whatever it matters. But those are the big matches this weekend. Second division report. The big story in the second division is Olivarense, undefeated with 9 points after 3 matches. Santa Clara, 2nd place, along with AVS, with 7 points. Santa Clara trying to get back to the first division, so they are near top. And my two favorite teams, and again, a lot of this is because of proximity, of course. The closest second division team to Arcos de Valdez is, of course, Vilafredense. They are, unfortunately, in 17th place. But Turriense, oh boy, I had a great time in Turriense. One day I was there visiting my uncle on that Saturday in Torres Vedras. Turriense sitting in the middle of the pack with 4 points. Last year they started off, I think, losing their first three matches. So Turriense doing very well in the second division. And pretty much a busy, well, you got one match on Friday with Tundela. Bilanenses, which I know a lot of people like, sits in 15th place outside of the relegation zone, but they've gotten off to a slow start. And then you got five matches on Saturday. Mafra FC Porto B is a very good match. The best match, in my opinion, is Leiria against AVS, managed by Jorge Costa, who's been doing a great job in the second division. And then you have three matches on Sunday. Turriense, my club, taking on Olivarense, the first place team. And then Lenkville Verdense will wrap it up. And they will take it on Nacional before this weekend comes to end. And then, of course, we'll be moving on to the international break. And I'll talk a lot more about that next week. Let me get going to a new feature. And again, if you want to ask me any questions about anything, hit me up in probably better because of all the comments I get and the interactions. It's always better to email me, peacesoccercom@gmail.com, or do it in the comment section in YouTube or send me a DM on Twitter or on Instagram. But I picked out three this week. The first is from Jason, a regular follower of mine on YouTube. And you had a lot of great comments, Jason, as always. Thank you so much. And you mentioned to me, what's my favorite club in Portugal? And again, obviously, you know, a lot of it is based on regionality, meaning anything close to my parents' hometown of Arcos de Valdez. And obviously, you know, my fifth-tier team, Atlético dos Arcos. I don't have much to say about them this week, so I'll come up with some news next week as they're getting ready to start their season coming up here in a few weeks. But if you were asking me first division, I guess it would have to be Gil Vicente because of Barcelos and the proximity. But I'm not going to lie to you. It's not like I pay attention to them a whole lot. I pay attention to really everybody the same in the first division. But I've kind of grown up and I've been, what's the word I want to use? I've sort of been conditioned to follow this Liga the way I do and to spend more time worrying about PortugueseSoccer.com instead of the wins and losses and try to put together a quality product here for the podcast. But there's always going to be people who think I'm against their club. That's just the way it is with the culture in Portugal. I'm an Arsenal fan in England. I've always been upfront about that. And my relationship when I talk to people about England, when I talk about the EPL, is different than in Portugal. Portugal, we know about it. I say one bad thing about a club, it turns into a conspiracy theory. But I've developed a lot of thick skin, Jason. A lot of thick skin. And I try to keep things positive here on this podcast. But as always, seriously, man, obrigado for your comments. Fernando on Twitter, he wrote me a DM, and I kind of wanted to read it to you. He said, I listen to your podcast every week, and it's one of the first things I do on Friday or if I get a chance on Saturday. It's a must listen to. Well, thank you so much, Jason. And one of the things I didn't understand is I know sometimes you're not very high on talking about the transfer window, but you are very high about talking about the Liga. And you brought up a good point recently about the fact that we spend too much time talking about player sales and fans get excited so much talking about, you know, players getting money, you know, or the clubs getting money, that we don't talk enough about the Liga. And in that regard, let me just read here. That is something that I thought you were right about, and I just wanted to comment you for that. Well, thank you, Fernando. Look, it's this weekend's a perfect example. Braga, Sporting, Benfica against an undefeated Guimarães, and I realize it's early. Got some good matches this weekend, but it doesn't get the attention. Instead, let's put, you know, worry. And again, I'm not against players. I love it when a player's dream is reached and he gets to put on the jersey with the president or he gets sold to a club abroad. It's the greatest moment in those kids' lives. I totally respect that. I totally understand that everybody in their life has a dream. And it's a lot of fun to see the player dreams. But sometimes I think it's too much. And I think we need to, especially if we're going to be centralizing TV rights, we need to start to make the Liga more exciting every week and to make it more appealing to people. And I have nothing against player moves. I think it's great. Agents will hate me because they think I'd want to talk about it. But, you know, sometimes agents create the controversy and create the talk when they give the newspapers hints. And I think sometimes that takes away from what I think should be about the Liga and getting people to watch the Liga. I mean, there are a lot of people that watch the Liga sometimes to watch a player that's linked to their club for a summer or January move. I've talked to a lot of people, you know, Bruno Fernandes. So many United fans said that they watched Portuguese football during the time when they were trying to get Bruno Fernandes, and now they hardly ever watch it at all. Maybe they occasionally catch a Clásico. But back then, they were following Bruno week to week. It becomes about the player and not necessarily the club. It has nothing to do. I don't criticize anybody. I just wish the focus was more on the Liga. Manuel on Instagram says, thank you for your podcast. I listen to it every week. What is your top four predictions for this upcoming season? And can Vitória Guimarães break into the top four? Well, I mean, obviously for me, I think Guimarães, I don't see them sticking around to finish top four. No, I think it's going to be the usual big three in Braga or my big four. If you're asking me today, and again, allow me to change my mind later based on things that happen or injuries or slumps, I kind of like the idea. Right now, I think Benfica is the best team in position to win the Liga. I think they have a great manager, and I think they just have the players. And they had a bad loss against Boavista, but Boavista, their credit, is having a good season, and everybody still has to go to Boavista. But I think, in my opinion, I think it's Benfica 1. I still think it's Porto 2. I just think Conceição is a great manager, even if he is sometimes gets angry too much. I think Ruben Amorim's a great manager, but he loses a lot of players, and we'll see. And then I think, for me, number four is Braga. That's what I'm going to go with right now, because I just want to see more of Braga. And I think they could compete. I bragged about it at the beginning of this episode. But I just think Braga needs a little bit more time. But that's what I have as of right now. And that's just my opinion of what, and we'll see if it changes. And one thing, by the way, going back to Fernando's Twitter DM to me, the other thing I want to say, Fernando, about, you know, players is, I know people get excited whenever their club signs a new player. It's incredible to me how excited people get for players that they didn't hear about 3 weeks ago. I just think that because of that, and because, you know, like somebody email me this week and tell me three players that are going to be the big names in the January transfer window that play in other parts of Europe and South America. And I'm going to hold your DM or your email, whatever it is. I'm going to hold it, and we're going to see if any of those players come up. And the truth is nobody knows. Once we start getting into December, we'll start to hear the rumors. I just think sometimes we get excited about things that we don't really know about. And there was even somebody on my Twitter feed that said this, that I think they were criticizing the signing of Mateus Fernandes at Estoril, and they thought the video was corny, and that they make a deal out of these videos for players that never pan out. And he was kind of right, not to say that Mateus Fernandes isn't going to pan out, but he's kind of right about the fact that people get excited about players, and a lot of times they don't pan out. And so anyway, I'm about the Liga, is just going back to Fernando's DM there. Anyway, folks, don't have a lot of news about Atlético dos Arcos, and that's going to wrap up episode 186. Kind of rushed it a little bit. I've just got a lot going on ever since I woke up this morning till now. It's just been one thing after another. And that's why when you're on vacation, you take a deep breath, because when you come back to your real life, it starts to pick up, and it just seems like it gets faster. But anyway, as always, I say this with most sincerely, muito obrigado. Thank you so much for taking time out of your week to listen. I'll be back again next week. Again, peacesoccercom@gmail.com or via DMs, via Instagram or Twitter, or do in the comment section in YouTube, and I will answer your questions next week. And again, thank you for listening. Please take care of yourselves. Please take care of your families. And I'll talk to you next week, everybody. Ciao.